trip, we are desiring a global impact partnership with some country around the world. And we have some existing contacts in Costa Rica, and so we thought that would be a place to start. And so we set out on a week-long vision trip. And really, we had three goals when we were there. And the first one was to ask good questions. And the second one was to be good listeners. And the third one was to learn as much as possible. I know that's like setting the bar pretty low. But that's really what we went there to do. We went to ask good questions, be good listeners, and learn as much as possible. And I think we successfully did all three of those things. But I want to begin by reading a scripture to you this morning. The text that I'll be sharing from this morning is based out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. And here's what it says. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So I want to tell you what I saw in Costa Rica. So I saw a sign that said, "Welcome to Costa Rica." I saw some beautiful, beautiful beaches and ocean. Look at that. I mean, that's like, stop that picture right there. Like, Susie took that picture. That is not a postcard. Like, that's where we were. Like, crazy suffering for Jesus, right? What's that? When it wasn't raining. Yeah, feel bad for us. It rained every day. All right, keep going. Look at that. No, literally, like, that place exists. I saw it. I was standing there. That's where I stayed. I never got in that. I just want you to know that. I was working, but it was there. And that's what we ate. And we saw that too. Here's what I want to tell you. We saw a lot of beautiful things. We saw a lot of beautiful people, but we saw a lot of darkness. So we were eating dinner one night at a nice restaurant that I can't pronounce because I don't know Spanish. And so there was a guy playing the guitar. It was kind of a trendy place. And the guy was playing the guitar, singing songs, even sometimes in English. And people were like kind of bobbing and weaving. And it was a great place, a small little local restaurant. And the food was ordered. And the place was full. And then all of a sudden, the lights went out. I mean, like, not like went out and like the generator came on. Look, like the lights went out and they stayed out. And not like stayed out for like a half an hour. Like they stayed out and we ate in the dark. We walked to our room in the dark. We talked in the dark. We prepared for bed in the dark. We went to bed in the dark waiting for the light. Like, it wasn't like dark, like, oh, it's dark, but you can kind of see the moon. It was like, can't see your hand in front of your face dark. It was dark. And I realized something. There's no beauty in the dark. I couldn't see the waterfalls. I couldn't see the beach. I could hear the ocean. I couldn't see the wonderful hotel or the wonderful restaurant. There's no beauty in the dark. And I want you to know that in Costa Rica, there's a lot of darkness. You see, it's obviously one of the best surfing areas in all of the world. And I want to tell you a story of my friend Dennis. Dennis was an elite surfer in Costa Rica. I mean, elite, like national champion in the race for the national championship of Costa Rica. And he said that he would win a surfing contest one day, but the next, the very next day, he would wake up and feel absolutely empty. He wanted more. He needed more. He went searching for more. And you know as well as I do, there he is. That's a picture of him. He found more in Jesus. He found more in Jesus, and he wanted to share what he had with others. And so Dennis Leone had this encounter with Jesus, and he began to get engaged with Jesus and empowered by Jesus. But then he, when he went out to try to share what he knew, he realized something very obvious to him, that even though Costa Rica is one of the five best places in the world to surf, those kind of people were not easily welcomed in the established church. That surfers that had swim trunks on and sandy feet and dripping surfboards were not welcome in the established, long pants wearing, polished, established church. And so after marrying his wife, Kyle, and moving to Santa Barbara, California, and getting on staff at a Free Methodist church in Santa Barbara and beginning a Spanish-speaking service, he began to get this burden in his spirit for his homeland, for his people. And not just his people of Costa Rica, but his people, the surfing community, the people that had sandy feet and wet swimming trunks, and that they didn't have to change in any way to be accepted by Jesus. And so when he came back to Costa Rica, he began to share the truths of Jesus, those powerful truths with Jesus, about Jesus, with people, and people began to believe. And so he had no desire to start churches. He simply just started having people gathering together. And a couple Christians turned into a group of Christians. And all of a sudden, churches started forming. And then a couple churches began to turn into 10 and 15 churches. And all of a sudden, he turned into a leader of a movement. And it began to have a name, and that name was the 360 District. And I want you to hear him talk about it today. You might have to start it over. Now the voice is off. So I don't know what you think a partnership with Costa Rica might or should look like, but I think that's where we're going to plug in. You've got a guy who is well known in the community because of secular surfing success, and now he's changed his life, and people are drawn to the message of Dennis Leon. They're drawn to Jesus' powerful transformation in Dennis's life, and so I feel like we are being called to encourage and equip and resource this movement of church planting. And Dennis thought that it would just be on the coastal communities of Costa Rica, but his influence and Jesus' influence is moving into the inner parts of Costa Rica, and he is seeing a rapid expansion of these gatherings. And he doesn't even like to call them churches. He kind of gets embarrassed to say that he's church planting, because really all it is a group of people just kind of starting to have a Bible study and talk about Jesus. And what happens is that in the beginning of their relationship with Jesus, they're taught that a disciple makes disciples. Go figure. Right? That when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you're supposed to tell other people about it. And this has turned into rapidly growing believers in Costa Rica. And so I want to show you one other video before I get into my message this morning. And I want to show you how excited Dennis is about a partnership with Northwood. So one of the things that Dennis is excited about is that when he has so many people and it's growing so rapidly, they need leaders. It's just like a guy that got saved a month ago is leading a guy that got saved 2 weeks ago, you know? And so they are in need of some leadership development, some pastoral training. And again, I don't say this to be discouraging, but like no one is ordained. Right, so Dennis, the leader of the movement in Costa Rica, is not a pastor. He's not an elder. He hasn't taken the classes yet. So we hope to go back maybe in the fall, actually, and go down and do some training of their, we're calling them pastors because they're leading people. So leadership development, pastoral training. And really what we want to do is just be really specialized. Like, Dennis and Kyle, tell us what you need, and we're going to try to fit that need. And so as this develops, I'm excited about it. But what I want to share with you today is something that just really, I think sometimes we use words we exaggerate too much, and I'm prone to exaggeration. So I don't want to overstate this, but this idea that I received down there, it really is, I think it has a transformational power to me, to you as individuals, and to our church. And it's a phrase. The phrase is stay salty. Stay salty. Now, to them, what that means is that when the career of a surfer is really short, like, so if you become a pro and you get sponsored at 15 or 16, really by the time you're 22 or 23, you're old in the surfing community, right? And 25 or 30, you're getting way out there. And so when you're 40, you're just like, yeah, you used to surf, you know? And so they came up with this theory, like, stay salty, stay in the water, keep surfing, think, you know, keep your passion. And really for us and for the church, it really has a double meaning, right, in Costa Rica. Because so much of what Christianity is, so much of what a relationship with Jesus should be, church, is that we should stay salty, right? We have this encounter with Jesus. And we're on fire for Jesus, and we get connected to a small group, and we're engaging with Jesus. But what happens is so often we forget that there's another leg to it, that we can encounter Jesus, we can engage with Jesus, but we're called to be empowered by Jesus to share the truth with other people. And that's a hard thing for the American church. And so it's so clean and clear to me by this idea of stay salty, that we, church, are called to influence others for Jesus Christ. Did you know that? And church, we're called to stay salty, that you've had an encounter with Jesus. You need to continue to influence other people for Jesus Christ. That's what salt does, right? Salt is an enhancer. It's a purifier. It's a preservative. But church, here's the thing. It can only preserve something. It can only purify something. It can only enhance something when it's in contact with something. Amen? You know what they call salt not being used? A salt shaker. Right? You're just sitting on the table, and you're not fulfilling the mission. And the mission of salt is to enhance, to preserve, to purify. And so we have been called to stay salty. And that's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 5. You are the salt of the world. You're the salt of the world. That's who we are. And church, this goes way beyond Costa Rica and a partnership with the Leones and World Missions. This is for you and I as followers of Jesus. I mean, this afternoon, I have the opportunity to speak at the Loyal Stock Township Baccalaureate in this very room this afternoon. And this is what I'm going to say to the graduates. Stay salty. Stay salty. And I have a message for them that has to do with, you know, how do we identify ourselves? First thing you do with salt is you identify that it's salt. You don't want to put pepper if you want salt. So you got to get the right thing. We got to identify who we are, and that's in Jesus Christ. Amen? Identify that we are Jesus. And then we need to be integrated. We need to be in community. One little bit of salt, it's not that effective. It needs to be with other salt. And the amount of salt impacts to a greater degree. So we need to be identify, integrate, and most importantly, not just identify as Christians, not just get together in community and integrate as Christians, because we're really good at that, right? I'm a Christian. I can identify as a Christian, right? And then I can integrate. I can go to church on Sunday morning. We're good at identifying and integrating. What we're not as good at is influencing. Salt is called to identify, integrate, and influence. Because, see, the risk, church, is that we simply become salt within the salt shaker. We show up on Sunday, we get into our small groups, we like being together, but the truth of the matter is, if we're simply a salt shaker, we're not fulfilling the mission of salt. We're not fulfilling the mission as a disciple if you and I are not influencing people for Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Coming to church is not the fulfillment of the mission. Reading your Bible is not the fulfillment of the mission. The fulfillment of the mission is going and making disciples. Disciples making disciples. That's the fulfillment of the mission of Jesus Christ. And see, Jesus is pretty clear. He says, listen, if salt loses its saltiness, it's not useful for anything. It gets thrown out and trampled on the ground. So just Sunday gathering Christians, Jesus doesn't think are very useful. That's an indictment of us. Jesus is pointing out that we are called to have a positive affect on others. And gathering once a week is not that positive affect. We are brought together each week in order to be scattered and influenced throughout the week. Amen? And all of you are influencers. Some of you are saying, not me. I couldn't influence. I mean, I'm too small. I don't know enough. I've not been a Christian long enough. I'm not even sure I am a Christian. I don't even know if God likes me anymore. Think about this. Small things can impact in great ways. Ask that mosquito. Amen? Right? A mosquito doesn't have to be Godzilla to have an impact on you. Amen? It'll eat you up. That mosquito eats you up, and it's not worried about how big it is. Jesus was an influencer, friends. That's what he did. He influenced us. He impacted and influenced common people in uncommon ways. I mean, the final statement that Jesus ever made to his disciples in Matthew, he says, therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching them to obey everything that I have taught you, that I have influenced you. Now you are called to go influence other people. As followers, we are influencers. We have been impacted and influenced, and now we must be compelled to share with others that life-altering truth in our life. I pray that Jesus has altered your life. Amen? If he's altered your life, what you have within you can alter someone else's life. And it's not just about altering their here and now life. When you go out and share as the mission of being salt is, it has eternal consequences. Amen? When what we share can impact people for eternity. I mean, the first thing, so I talked about the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples. The first thing he says to his disciples is this: follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I'm not trying to overplay this. If you feel like I'm not treating the scriptures fairly, just write me an email. Fishers of men. That sounds pretty influential, amen? That sounds pretty active. That seems pretty intentional and pretty purposeful. It doesn't say, come follow me and I will have a weekly gathering and we'll be a part of this coolest small group and come follow me and you will learn a lot and come follow me and you'll have a good time. Come follow me. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. How I have impacted you, you will then go and impact others. That's what salt does. Followers are influencers. All followers are influencers. You are uniquely wired to influence someone. Do you believe that? God has called you to be an influencer. Now, Oswald Chambers says something. He makes a great distinction here. And this is something that's very hard, and maybe we need to come back to this. But Oswald Chambers says that we have been called to be salt, not sugar. See, sugar is a sweetener, but salt is a preservative and a purifier. Sugar is not going to get it done, church. And I'm not here to criticize any other church, because it's probably me at some point in my ministry, that I tried to learn the coolest way to do church. You know what that is? That's sugar. The coolest way to impact people. That's sugar. What salt does is it says, here is the truth, and this truth will impact your life. It doesn't need to be dressed up. It simply needs to be distributed. Because when we lose our distinctiveness, when we lose our saltiness, church, we lose our effectiveness. And we have not been called to be responsible for people's conversion. You're not, listen, lose the Jesus complex. Lose the Messiah complex. You're not called to go out and save anybody. We are responsible for conversations, not conversions. Amen? We're responsible for contact and not conversions. John 17:15 says this. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, right? So, listen, we're not called to be isolationists here. We're not called to just huddle up and don't let the bad people get us. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them, make them more like me. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. You know, one of the things I tell my kids all the time is that I want you to be an influencer, not influenced. There's a big difference, right? I want you to go into a situation and it's better for you having been there. You're not worse for having been there. And that's what salt does. It influences. All right, so let's bring this in for a landing. And I'm a little concerned about sharing this with you. You know, here's the thing. So if you promise to be gentle with me, I will share with you something that's only information. Kind of half-baked. Normally, I try to get up here with fully baked things. What I'm about to share with you is something that I'm developing. It's something that I've been thinking through. It's something that I'm working with God on. But I feel like it makes a lot of sense to begin to share it with you today. So be gentle. Understand that it's information. And it's really the project that I'm working on this summer. So it's not going to be ready for public viewing until later this year. But I want to share with you because I believe that it's really that critical piece that's missing in most churches. So we understand that we are to encounter Jesus Christ, right? So that churches get that, right? Come to Jesus, come to the cross. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today, we definitely want you to encounter Jesus. We want you to realize that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and that we can commit our life to a new way of living. So sorry, thank you, please. That's encountering Jesus. We want everyone to encounter Jesus. So then when you encounter Jesus, you come into a relationship with him and you engage with Jesus. And that's really the depth. That's when you begin to get into a small group. That's begin to get discipled and learn and really grow in your faith so you can encounter Jesus, engage with Jesus. But what happens is the churches that I've been in charge of, where we have been the weakest, is this third E, and that's in being empowered. That every single one of us is called to have an impact for Jesus Christ. Not just encounter Jesus Christ, not just engage with Jesus Christ, but to be empowered to impact the world around us for Jesus Christ. And the church so often is afraid to talk about it because we do such a poor job of it. We don't know how to impact. Because you and I would rather just sit here and watch me and talk about it and feel good and go home and like, wow, well, let's read those notes again. Let's read that. Yeah, that's great. Oh, that's wonderful. That's going to help me have a better week. But what we're called to do as disciples is actually make more disciples. And that's the hard part. And so what I'm going to be doing over the summer is I'm going to be writing, I don't know if it's going to turn into not a book. That's a little bit overreaching. More than a pamphlet, less than a book. I'm going to be writing my 360 impact. Something that you and I can study together, like a Bible study. That we can study together that as we get through the study, we can realize how God has designed you and me to impact the world we live in. And here it is. And I want to show you. So with first thing, my 360 impact, every impact, your impact has one thing. It has investment. It's going to cost you something. It's going to ask pieces of you to be given away. If you're going to impact the world, if you're going to impact someone beyond yourself, It's going to require an investment. Number two, it's going to require a mission. We're going to need to know that we are building God's kingdom. We're making an investment not for our kingdom, not for us to be better, but for the kingdom of God to be better. So investment, mission, and people. This seems obvious, but it needs to be stated. The benefit is for someone else. See, we do a lot of things, if we're honest, for ourselves. If it benefits me, I'll do it. But if you're truly going to have an impact, like Jesus is telling us to be an impact, it's going to have, the focus is going to be on other people. So I'm going to make an investment of myself in the kingdom of God to benefit other people. And then adventure. Every impact requires faith. If you can do it by yourself, it is not the impact God wants you to make. It's going to require faith. And we have to do things as a church and as disciples that require God to do something, or else we're going to fail. Have you ever been in a situation where if God doesn't show up, you're in big trouble? I get in that a lot. And sometimes I don't even have to leave 1525 Faxon Parkway. So invest in mission, people, adventure, cause. I want you to be specific. Sometimes it's like, well, yeah, I'm just building God's kingdom, and I'm just going to go, but we don't really know what we're doing. I want us to be very, very specific when we talk about our impact. We want God to show us, oh, am I supposed to be on the next team that goes to Costa Rica? That's pretty specific. Am I supposed to lead the coffee ministry next winter? That's very specific. Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do this? Does God call me to this? What is my specific role? A couple months ago, Dave comes up to me and says, you know what, maybe this... that's a lie. Let me turn that back. I was going to embellish that story. We thought Dave should lead the youth ministry, and God began to work on him. And that's very specific now. Dave knows what his role is, and God knew that our church needed that. We needed someone dedicated and committed to the cause of youth in our church. And so Dave knows his cause. And then lastly, and I know this is like the cuss word of the church, so I'm going to give you like 3 or 4 months notice. In the fall, we're actually going to talk about giving in the church. So I'm going to give you 3 or 4 months notice. So it's coming. All right, we're going to talk about how to be rich, right? And so every impact requires a tithe. And I'm not simply just talking about finances. I'm talking about a tithe of your resources. I'm talking about a tithe of your time. I'm talking about a tithe of your giftedness. God did not gift you to benefit you. God gifted you to benefit others. And so if we're going to talk about my 360 impact, I think it involves this. And so I have a little bit more of this developed, but I'm hoping to write all summer long and really be able to share this with you in a real way, in a kind of a bound way, and something we can walk through together. But just act surprised when you see it next time. So this is in the laboratory. So Susie and I, we developed that while we were in Costa Rica. And so this is why I wasn't swimming. I share all of this to say this. We are called to have impact, amen? We are called to be influencers. And so it may take us a while to figure out how to do this. And so I'm admitting that we may not know how to do it well, and it may take us time to learn how to do it, but we're going to do it. We're going to be a church that influences other people for Jesus Christ. And I'm okay that we're not good at it right now. And I'm okay that there's empty seats right now. But I believe there's going to be a day where every single one of us will know our impact. We'll know what God has called us to do. We'll know that it's going to require faith. We're going to know that it's asking something of us. It's going to cost us something. We know who the people are. We know what the cost, you know, we know. And then we're going to just be able to cheer each other on to do it. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I'm part of a church that's willing to have an impact for Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, like I told you on, I don't know, was it Mother's Day, that I felt like the second year had already started. And this is it. I mean, we are into it, and I feel that God is beginning to really reveal a lot of stuff to me about the future of this church. And I think this summer is going to be big, developing a lot of big things. And in the fall, I think that this church is going to really see rapid, rapid kingdom expansion in a big way. And it's not about filling up the seats, church. It's really about having impact and influence for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So this is like part sermon, part missions report, part motivational speech. I don't know what it is. It's what the Lord wanted me to share with you. Yeah. God said it, so it's good enough for me. And it's only 11:10, so you can go to lunch a little early. Let's pray and ask the worship team to come back up. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for the truths that you give us, that we can understand how you're working in our midst. God, today we are a people that are hungry. We're a people that are excited. We're a people and a church that wants to see your kingdom come and your will be done in Williamsport, in Loyalsock, as it is in heaven, in our lives, as it is in heaven. So God, today I pray in Jesus' name that every single person in this room, every single person on the internet that's listening to this message, Lord, that they would realize that they have been called and created to be influencers, to be salt in this world, to bring truth, purity, enhancement, preserve, affect in a mighty way. And so, God, today we commit ourselves, even though we don't know exactly how to do it or what exactly you're calling us to do or when you're going to call us to do it. Today, you simply ask us to raise our hand and say, yeah, I'm willing. I want to influence. I want to be a disciple that makes disciples. I want to be salt. I want to have an impact for the kingdom of God. And so, God, today we commit to impact and to influence instead of being influenced and impacted. We want to be on the offensive, not on the defensive. We're not afraid. We're not scared. We're not on the run away from the enemy. We're taking it to him. We're taking it to him. We are on the offensive. We read the end of the story and we win. And so, God, today we commit to being a church and commit to being a people that are willing to share what Jesus has done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, we close our service the same way each week, and that is to have a prayer time. Our worship team sings a song of response, and so we're going to ask everyone to stand and sing with us as we consider how God's speaking to us in this through this message this morning. But if you're here today and you have something you'd like to pray about, our church is blessed with several pastors. Pastor Linton Perry and Pastor Chuck Stutzman are here, and they're going to be up here in the front, and I'm going to be over at the cross. And if you're here today and as we're singing, there's something that you want to pray about, there's something that's on your heart that you want to have someone pray with you about, we simply want to pray with you. We're not going to counsel you. We're not going to make an appointment or a lunch appointment with you. We're simply just going to pray and ask and agree together with what you want to pray about. If God's just laying on your heart about your marriage, or God's laying on your heart about some struggle you're having or a decision you need to make or an illness you have, we just want to pray for you and pray with you and agree with you that God wants to do something big in your life. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have never said yes to Jesus, you've never realized that you could be forgiven from your sins, received as a child of God in a new creation. That's the promise of Jesus. He said that the old is gone and the new has come. And it comes through Jesus. And if you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, you've never had your sins forgiven, I'd love to pray with you and just say, hey, listen. This is a young lady or young man or older man or older woman who wants to wants to be clean and free. Free and forgiven and full of love. That's what Jesus offers us. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm done talking. Stop making me talk. All right. So let's sing.